Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the congregation at Philippi, the third chapter. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. In the mid-1970s, there was a student at Dr. Martin Luther College in New Ulm who had recently acquired a job at a local store. And after a week or so, the owner had to finally fire him. And the report was that the reason was that this young man, who would typically work a four-hour shift, would spend about three of those hours reading his Bible. And apparently, when he got fired, the owner came to him and said, "You're not getting your work done. I'm going to need to fire you." And the student said to this owner, "Well, you're a Christian. Don't you want me to be reading my Bible?" And the man said, "No, I don't. At least not while you're working for me. You got work to do. There's a time and a place for that." It's interesting that as believers in Christ, we live in two different worlds in a certain sense. We live in two kingdoms. We often use the expression. Our chapel services this week will be focused on that. How do we as Christians who have our citizenship above in heaven, where we are waiting for the matchless king that we just sang about, the King of Glory who should be crowned with many crowns, how do we properly live in light of knowing that we belong to him and have this beautiful home waiting for us in heaven by faith, and yet at the same time we live here under the obligations and the duties and the things that we have in this life, in the world, and all of the different realms of authority that are over us here in this world. In the text before us, St. Paul is reminding us, believers in Christ, about our citizenship that we have in heaven to that great King of Glory who is going to come back to us someday. And yet he's also addressing how do we then as Christians live in this world? Because of our dual citizenship, if you will, the fact that we have a citizenship in this life and in this land, there's a temptation to fall into losing our citizenship in heaven because of being so earthly focused. It's interesting how frequently, in fact, I think you could say in every one of St. Paul's epistles, he has to address this problem and this subject, that those of us who belong to Christ, because we live here in this world and because we deal with the things of this world and have obligations here, and because our life here in this world deals with material things, there's a temptation to let this world then become our life and to steal away our heart and to cause us to forget about that beautiful eternal citizenship that we have in the land above. And this is a constant struggle and temptation. The words that Paul uses to address these first century Christians, you know, and you often think, these guys were brand new in the faith. They had the opportunity to have the apostle himself instruct them in the faith. This is the city of Philippi is in northern Greece today. It was a colony originally established by Caesar Augustus. Paul had done early missionary work there. Imagine getting to actually hear the apostle Paul himself instruct you and teach you. And yet, the people there, the believers there, who were probably mostly Gentile converts, they had the same problems that we do today. Brand new congregation, you think they'd be excited about this new faith. They had the opportunity to speak with people who were eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Christ. A lot of times, if you and I would think, man, would I ever have a stronger faith if I was back then? You know what? They had the same struggles and the same problems that we do. They had the same tendency to kind of lose that heavenly focus and bring their thinking back down to earth. Like Luther says, having faith, looking forward to heaven, is like throwing a rock up in the sky. It always comes back down to earth. Our attention and our focus can so easily be lost back to the things of this life. But he's describing a group of people in the congregation now who this had happened to them so thoroughly that they had completely lost their desire for heaven. One commentator called them sham Christians. That's a tough label. They outwardly looked like they still belonged to the church and that they cared about the things of the kingdom of God. But really in their heart, he says their God is their belly. They're living for this world. They're living for the pleasures of this life. And that's really where their hearts are fixated. And St. Paul gives a very harsh statement about these people inside of the church, the physical church who are doing this. He says, their end is destruction. He even says in writing about them, it brings tears to his eyes. Probably some of these were people that he personally worked with and helped to convert to Christ, who had now drifted back into being so worldly minded. Now he reminds us once again, because of what Christ has done for us, paying for our sins on the cross, every one of them, and because of the holiness that he gives us in the waters of baptism that we possess by faith, and because the Holy Spirit has given us that faith, we truly do have citizenship in heaven. That's an amazing thing. He doesn't speak about it as if it's a potential or a possibility, but a present-day reality. He doesn't say our citizenship will be in heaven. He says it is in heaven now through faith in Christ, even though we've never been there yet. The Greek word that he uses for citizenship is often translated in other places commonwealth. Commonwealth. There are certain states, I believe it's Pennsylvania, Virginia, Kentucky, and Massachusetts, that still use the name commonwealth instead of state. It really doesn't mean a whole lot different, but the reason that they want to keep that in their name is they feel that it emphasizes the fact that the government of this entity exists for the welfare of its citizens to take care of them. What a beautiful word that God would use in Scripture to describe us who are heavenly citizens in this life. We're part of the heavenly commonwealth. The whole kingdom of God in this world, as far as how it comes to us through word and sacrament, is about us. It's about our welfare and making sure that we're safe, protected from the evil one, so that someday we can live forever in the mansions of heaven. What a beautiful word to describe the church of God in this world, his saints. And so what drives people in this kingdom, what motivates them and causes them to persevere in the faith is the fact that they are looking forward for a Savior to come back and arrive and take them home. He says they're waiting in anticipation for this one who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Man, is that a verse. He's going to transform our lowly bodies. Let me use a little illustration, if you would. In my wife's family, there were some people that lived on a military base over in Europe for a while, and their children, when they were born there, already possessed U.S. citizenship, even though they'd never come here to the United States. Let's imagine for a moment a 10-year-old boy who was born in a third-world country while on a U.S. military base to U.S. citizen parents who were in the military, and he's never yet come over to the United States, and yet he possesses citizenship here. And he's heard his parents talk about what an awesome place their home in the United States is and how wonderful the food is and all of the things that you can see and do over here. But he's yet never actually experienced it. But he's just lived with this longing in his mind and his heart for this whole time. And now they're finally on a ship coming back. And for the first time, he's going to get to see that homeland. But while they're on the ship, there are certain rules you have to obey from the captain of the ship. And he gives particular rules about where children can be and where they can play and things like that. And the boy very eagerly is looking forward to getting to this new home, and yet at the same time knows he has to obey the rules of the ship. But he stands out near the front of the edge of the ship all the time, looking forward to that first sight of his new land. That's a picture of us in this world. You and I have been blessed by God to be citizens of a heavenly place that we've never seen. We've never seen anything about it. And yet we've heard our parents, we've heard the apostles write about it and describe it for us, what a beautiful home this is, and we're looking forward to being there someday. And yet while we're on the journey to get there in this life, we also have to live under the obligations and regulations and rules of people in this realm, in this world. And that's fine, as long as it doesn't contradict what God wants of us. But our real heart, our real longing, the reason why we stand at the front of the ship is because we're looking forward to the greater country And someday we will arrive there. So set your sight, set your mind, set your heart on things above. Amen.